Ever since we started this channel here, Daniel Davis Deep Dive, we have been talking about the possibility of ending this war between Russia and Ukraine, talking about how important it was. And after many fits and starts, especially since Trump came into office, that maybe there's going to be a negotiated settlement. Trump entered office with a lot of hope, but then it turned into empty hope because the statements that Trump made and the actions that were taken were not coordinated. They were not conducive to peace, and it just ended up being a bunch of talks. Now then it starts to appear that maybe for the first time in almost 4 years of war, that I have at least some hope that we might be getting close to an end of war negotiated settlement. Now that's saying a lot, and I have been advocating for this from the outset and talk about why a lot of people who have been claiming that they want it have just been a lot of nonsense. But now it's starting to appear that it's more than just nonsense and we might actually be getting there. Let me go and tell you why we're thinking this way. And even at this point, it still has a bunch of caveats on it and a bunch of asterisks that I'm hopeful and maybe it's going to, but at least there is a legitimate possibility here. First of all, you can see that this is reported just yesterday, the U.S. and Russia preparing a secret draft of a 28-point peace proposal for Ukraine. Now, so far, these terms have not been listed. Now, this is supposed to be inspired by Trump's 20-point peace plan that he got to end, or at least have a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war, because that was famously agreed to, and even the United Nations adopted it and agreed to it, and that's what at least right now is the basis of trying to bring that war to a complete end. It's in a ceasefire situation right now, but they're hopefully to use that framework to bring it to a complete end. Likewise, now the reports are that the Trump administration is dealing with and working with the Russian officials, especially between Witkoff and Kirill Dmitriev on the Russian side, that these are the terms that they're trying to reach. Now, no one's even leaked what these 28 points are, other than that there are 28, but there are at least what's reported said that there are four general categories. One is, of course, bringing the war to an end. Two is security guarantees, and that would presumably be for both sides, not just Ukraine, but also for Russia. EU security, so a new European security architecture, and in the future of U.S.-Russia and U.S.-Ukraine relations, all of which would be part of this plan. If that is the case, there will be no bigger cheerleader for that and an advocate than I am, especially if this is something that all the sides can acknowledge and agree to. And one of the reasons why I said that this is, I have at least some optimism and some level of hope, is because for the first time that I can recall seeing, one of the Russian outlets, Kirill Dmitriev particularly, was quoted as saying that for the first time, he said this deal has some possibility and they have some optimism because, as he put it, the Russian position is actually being seriously acknowledged this time, whereas in the past, they have basically not. And of course, we've talked about so many times and showed you countless examples whether it's Kiev, whether it's Brussels, or Paris, London, and Rome, all these folks, they keep talking about this just and lasting peace that's all on the Ukraine's side, it's all to their benefit, et cetera, and that Russia's the bad guy, Russia has to lose, you know, all those kind of things. There was never any seriousness to that. All those statements were nonsense because they were made in an environment to where the Russia had the unequivocal and irrevocable advantages in manpower, in industrial base, in weapons, ammunition, all of those categories. None of those things have changed. And so that's why Russia continued to say, we're at the table. We've never left the table. We remain at the table and we're willing to have a negotiation as long as everybody understands that those discussions will take place in the context of the continuing offensive operation by the Russian side towards the success on the battlefield. You may remember that President Putin in Beijing earlier this summer said, we will accomplish our objectives at the negotiating table or on the battlefield. Categorically, we've had Russian ambassadors on our show talking about that very same thing, et cetera. So they haven't changed at all. What may have changed, though, is a recognition on the side of the West and probably kind of putting the tea leaves together here a little bit and putting disparate information that we've got from different sources. It may well be that the Trump administration has finally reached the end of its patience. and that they're now probably telling Ukraine officials and European officials, we're at the end. We're not going to keep going down this path. Though, as we're going to see here, even that has an asterisk on it because there's some weird stuff that's going on top of that. First of all, let's take a look at what's being reported. Zelensky right now is in Turkey as we speak, trying to reinvigorate stalled negotiations with Russia. Okay, that is kind of an indicator right there because, again, Russia's never left the table, and Zelensky has just been talking about, basically, he's given surrender terms to the Russians and practicalities and this just and lasting peace and all this. And, you know, we have to have everything that we want and nothing. So if he's now in Turkey to reinvigorate, that nearly means that the only possibility is that he is recognizing his terms are going to have to change because he doesn't have the power to do anything. And I think there's several reasons for that. One is there's been lots of information here recently that there's been this big corruption scandal, and it is now growing even bigger. And this actually started about a couple of months back. You may remember the NABU, their organ that they have within their country that's supposed to help corruption, anti-corruption situation. Zelensky just tried to disband that, just with caveat, with executive fiat. And that blew up in his face. The people in Ukraine didn't like it. The Western leaders didn't like it. So he had to backtrack on that. Well, now that it's advanced a little bit further, first, his right-hand man, a guy named Mindich, was discovered and accused of embezzling $100 million in stuff. And now he is Zelensky's right-hand man. Since that time, there have been two additional leaders that have come under scrutiny. One is the former defense minister Umarov, who has also been working, and apparently he was visiting with Witkoff in Miami just a day or so ago talking about this, but now he's come under scrutiny that he's been embezzling money. And then now that I think just this morning, we have one of their, the former energy minister, a former deputy prime minister, is now also incarcerated. And he is also, so for the third different person, is being accused of large-scale embezzlement. And these guys are all directly tied to Volodymyr Zelensky. Now, this is just speculation on my part, and so I'll acknowledge that right up front. But one has to wonder, is this that suddenly, within Ukraine on its own, their counter embezzlement functions and their anti-corruption groups or whatever just suddenly found up all the stuff and it's bubbling up, or and I think this is the more plausible anyway, that the United States and or the West or some combination of the two have been telling Zelensky, you're going to have a negotiated settlement, you're going to get this, what we always call the ugly deal, you're going to take the ugly deal, or we're going to take some other action. And if Zelensky was balking on that, if he was not being willing to do it, then I think they said, and by the way, we know about all this corruption. And believe me, we know about this corruption. We may not know all the details of it, but we certainly know it exists. I guarantee you, we are aware of where a lot of this money goes and that it's been siphoned off and all this kind of stuff. And now then I think that they may be saying, we can bring this back on you. We're going to expose your right-hand men. And if you still don't make any action, then we're going to expose you and you're going to leave you hanging out to dry and you could literally be put in jail. So I think that there's some plausibility that that's what's been happening, because I don't think it's just any coincidence that in the midst of all this, and as it's continuing to expand, all of a sudden Zelensky goes to Turkey to be talking about a negotiated settlement. Russians, for their part, just this morning, Peskov was initially asked about if this was going on, and in typical Russian fashion, his first comment here was, Russia is not currently holding contacts with U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff. Russian state news agency RIA cited Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov is saying on Wednesday. RIA also cited Peskov as saying that Witkoff is welcome to come to Russia at any time. This whole is not currently holding contacts kind of makes you think, like, you mean like literally at this second, or that this is not going on? There was another friend, the Moscow Times is also reporting this morning. It says talks were held in Anchorage, and so far there's nothing to add to what was discussed in Anchorage. Dmitry Peskov also told reporters when asked about the Axios report that first talked about and broke this 28-point peace plan. Now, that's there's some other language I've seen in other Russian media this morning talking about Anchorage and some of the leaders there. There is growing probability and certainly being indicated by the Russian side that when Trump and Putin met in Anchorage, Alaska, that there was the broad outline, and probably Putin himself, and we've made this comment many times, almost certainly said, here's what I have to bring this war to an end. If you can deliver this stuff here, then we can have it. And of course, it's the same thing from June 2014 from the Russian side, the four oblasts, the change in the constitution for the Ukraine side to provide protections for the Russian-speaking people throughout the country there. And then, of course, NATO in Ukraine, and a demilitarization and denazification. Harsh terms. But apparently, he said that's just what we got to have, and then we can bring this war to an end. So it's pretty likely, and this is from the readout from the Russian side, you may recall we've mentioned after that meeting earlier this summer. And so almost certainly it's the same thing that the Russians have been saying, and that is almost certainly what's based on here. And if the United States is now coming to the point to where, you know what, we just want to get this thing off the table. And if that's the cost of it, that is better. It is better than just saying, we're going to let you guys roll until you have complete destruction of Ukraine and they lose everything. And listen, in case anybody is tempted to say that the Trump administration is submitting to the Russians or kowtowing to, I'll just tell you, they're acknowledging reality. Because you can stay staunch, you can have your back puffed up, you can have your neck stiffened, et cetera, and you're going to end up getting it broke off. Because the Russians have the capacity to continue going on until they do exactly what they have said that they would do, which is to physically conquer Ukraine. And we're starting to see that take place right now. First of all, the energy system in Ukraine is literally falling apart. After years of attack, and it's continued to weaken, you may recall Secretary of State Rubio that we showed you a soundbite of a week or so ago where he acknowledged and quantified himself that the system had been weakened over the years, and that means that the starting point for the next season was lower, and then it keeps getting knocked down lower. And now then, here the Ukraine system is just getting beat up further. Gary, there's one full screen I have on that of the energy system. If you can put that one up there, not that one. That's for the ATACMS. This is for the energy system. It's the dark one. Sorry, keep going there. That's the one right there. This is out in the Kiev Independent today. It's called Destroy, Fix, Repeat. Russia is creating a devastating doom loop inside Ukraine's energy system. Key issues here. Meanwhile, manufacturing new parts is slow. Air defense ammunition is running low, and financial resources are wearing thin as Kiev approaches a cliff edge next year in funding. That's important. More on that in just a second. To add insult to injury, a $100 million corruption scandal is now engulfed in their energy sector, describing the current efforts to find equipment amid Russia's intensifying attacks. The Russian-Ukrainian official told the Kiev Independent, it's like mopping the floor while the tap is still running. And this whole issue that their financial resources are running low and they're coming up on a cliff edge financing situation. What that is referring to is that just to operate the state, you may also recall a little over a month ago, we talked about this, that Zelensky went out and said, I've got to have, I think it was $60 billion more than what we have right now, just to keep operating in January, in 2026. So we're now a month and a half away from that. They don't have the money just to pay salaries for their government employees, just to exist. And if they can't even function, I mean, the state could literally collapse from within. And I'm talking physically if they don't have this money. And they're coming up. That's why they call it a cliff edge, because they're about to run out of money. Europe has not been able to come up with enough. That's just to function in the state, in Kiev, at the government offices throughout the rest of the country. They're running it because they don't have any money coming in because the economy is almost completely destroyed, not just damaged, but destroyed. There's just nothing other than what they can get coming in from the outside. At the same time, they now have this big corruption scandal, which is eating away at the support of the Ukrainian people because they see that they're suffering. They see they don't have enough money to pay salaries. And then you find out that the guys that are Zelensky's best buddies are siphoning off hundreds of millions of dollars. And according to Larry Johnson, we had last week, there's some that's like $48 billion. I mean, it's just an astronomical amount of money while these people are starving, while they're freezing because they don't have the money to buy parts for these energy structures because Russia has been really hitting it hard this year and there just aren't parts. And I mean, even in Europe, there's just not parts. So the energy system is going down. You're running out of money. And then, of course, you don't have the air defense systems to stop the onslaught of the Russian air attacks every night, which, again, another one last night. It was about 450 some odd missiles and air attacks that went throughout the country. Lviv all the way in the west was hit. Several other cities in their defense sector were hit. You see some of the smoldering ruins there, even within the cities. A lot of the apartment buildings just were hit. And it's just, well, yeah, and some of those, there's just dramatic footage there. You see that the air defense is not stopping these things. I mean, you can see it with your own eyes right there. And that is part of the problem, and that it's just part of the contributing problem to this. Now, we also have, you want to add on top of that, that the manpower in Ukraine, this was also revealed, I believe, by Secretary of State Rubio also, that they're getting about 17,000 troops mobilized, force mobilized per month. That's not enough to offset losses because they also have, they've had 161,000 desertions in just the first 10 months of this year alone. They have the casualties that they have that are just unbelievable, unfathomable. So they can't offset the losses, which means they're literally shrinking everywhere. Now, I just showed you, I guess yesterday, the new situation on the front line and how Russia is now accelerating its conquest of physical territory. They had 586 square kilometers captured in the month of October, and they are now on pace, according to Julian Rupka from the German Bild, to capture somewhere between 900 and 1,000 square kilometers this month alone. By all accounts, the most since the initial invasion. After that period, this is the most. And now we're closing on the fourth year of war, and it could be the hot, meaning that it's going to continue to accelerate because all the fundamentals, because that's all balanced off on the Russian side with their increasing the amount of troops that they have. They're increasing the firepower that they have. All the categories are going up while all the categories in Ukraine are going down. So we now have this situation to where there is reports that President Trump has a 28-point plan that he wants. Zelensky is a meeting in Turkey right now to try to have a deal. The Russians are saying everything that was on the table in Anchorage is still on the table. We're still talking about that. And on the battlefield, in the skies, at the financial tap, you see in the energy sector, everywhere is the physical manifestation of what we have been saying from the beginning. There is no end to this except for physical destruction on the Ukrainian side. And it is starting to look like that reality is dawning belatedly on the Ukraine side and on the European side. My guess and my hope is that what President Trump is doing is to tell Zelensky, the time has come and my patience is out. So you're either going to make this deal or it won't be one of your, you know, one of your key henchmen is the next one to be arrested. There's going to be a release on you. And there's been many people. I was talking to somebody who has direct contacts in Kyiv just this morning. And they say this is a major, major issue. And there have been secret negotiations that have been going on. I got this confirmed from a direct source. Somebody with the highest levels of access in the Ukrainian government this morning confirmed, yes, there have been secret discussions and negotiations. And apparently they do recognize that they just can't keep going on with the fiction. All this fiction they've been doing for the whole war and certainly this whole calendar year is now physically coming to an end, and they're going to have to draw this to a conclusion. So we'll see if they continue to go down this path and see if in the coming days here, because according to Politico just this morning, a deal could be had within a week, it said, as soon as a week, but otherwise a short period of time. So there's some hope that that could be coming soon. And the Wall Street Journal is talking about this. So the more mainstream media on the Western side is starting to cover this in the United States, especially. So that usually means that somebody in the administration is leaking information to these guys. So that's the reason for my cautious optimism just because, not because they think it's a good idea, not because they're dawning on reality, but it could be that President Trump has reached the end of his patience and he says, all right, we're going to be done with this. Here's the deal. Take it or we're going to walk. We'll see how this is going to work out. But wanted to make sure you're aware of this. We will definitely keep a track on all this and keep you updated on any developments that come and happen. And by the way, let's see. Yeah, we were about 30 minutes away. We have Ted Postol back with us today. He mentioned on his last show here that he was going to explain to us how the U.S. missile defense is a big deception, that we don't have as good a capability as we have. And we asked him if he would put together a plan and show you exactly what he's talking about. So that is about 30 minutes from now at 12 o'clock Eastern time, Ted Postol on the U.S. missile defense deception on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. I will see you there shortly. Talk to you soon.